It is the tradition in the church to stand out of respect for the gospel. And so if you're able, please stand. The gospel lesson on this third Sunday of Lent comes from the Gospel of Luke, the 13th chapter, beginning with the first verse. At that very time, there were some present there who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. He asked them, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were worse sinners than all the other Galileans?" "No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish as they did. Or those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all of the others living in Jerusalem?" "No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish just as they did." Then he told them this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the gardener, "See here, for 3 years I have been coming looking for fruit on this fig tree, and still I find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" He replied, "Sir, let it alone for one more year until I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." The word of the Lord. You may be seated. Let us pray. Gracious God, it's good to be in your temple, among your people, in the presence of your Spirit and your word. Lord, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to repent. Thank you for the second chance. Thank you for the help, your help, through your Son, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. As a bivocational person, I like to describe myself this way. In fact, you'll find this description in the new website. We have a new website. It's available. It's up and running. And there and in other places, I like to say that Monday through Friday, I bring the bad news. Every Monday through Friday, without fail, I'm bringing the bad news. And every Sunday, I bring the good news. Unfortunately, today, I've got to bring some bad news because it's what the gospel presents to us this morning. Some really bad news. In fact, it almost looks like we're just ripping these right from the headlines out of today's newspaper or seeing them flash across the cable news networks. It's bad news. And we've got to deal with it because it's right here in Scripture. Now, it is important any time that you're looking at Scripture, in most cases, you can't just take a verse of Scripture or even several verses of Scripture and just take them at face value. You usually have to see the context within they live in the Bible. And so we have to do that today, and we're going to do that today. Now, if we don't do that, then the Scripture just read to you is a very scary Scripture. Because in the Scripture, Jesus says, "Repent or perish." And he says it again, "Repent or perish." Now we got to pull back, right? If we want to see what Jesus is talking about, we got to zoom out. We got to let the camera move back. We got to take in more of the scene to understand exactly what it is that's going on here. So let's back up just a little bit, see if we can find out what it is that's happening. We don't have to go back that far. We're in chapter 13 today. All we have to do is to go back to chapter 12 and verse 54. And it sounds like right here in this newscast, we're going to get a weather report. Because Jesus says to the crowds, "When you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say it's going to rain. And so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say there will be scorching heat. And it happens. You hypocrites. You know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and sky. You know what the weather is going to be. But why do you not know how to interpret the present time?" The present time. Well, what time is it? What time is it, Jesus? It's time to repent. That's what time it is. Why? because a tower might fall right on your head. It's time to repent. In the gospel lesson, then, as we move into the verses prescribed for us today, we see what looks like Jesus and the disciples and the crowds, and they're sitting around a table down at McDonald's with the other old folks down there, and they're talking about the news. And one of the people in the crowd gets a notice on their iPhone, a news alert on their iPhone, and they say, "Jesus, did you hear? There were these Galileans, and they went to the temple to make their sacrifices, and Pilate sent people in there, and he killed them right there when they were offering sacrifices, and the sacrifice of the blood of the sacrifice, and the sacrifice of it was all mingled together. It's awful." And Jesus said, "Repent, or you will suffer as well." And then Jesus gets an alert on his iPhone, and he says, "Hey, look what happened here. There was this tower down in Siloam, and it fell on 18 people, and it killed them all." And he said, "Repent, or you likewise will perish." But Jesus, before that, he said, "Do you think that those Galileans who went to sacrifice and lost their lives at the hands of Pilate's people, do you think they died because they're sinners?" And he says, "No, that's not what happened." And he said, "Those folks who were there in Siloam and that tower fell on them, do you think they died because they were sinners?" And he said, "No, that's not why they died. Stuff just happened." Now, they believed in that day in a connection between sin and suffering. If you sin, you will suffer. If you're suffering, you are sinning. And Jesus says, "No, you've got it all wrong, because sometimes stuff just happens. Sometimes towers fall. And so, repent. You don't know. You don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen. The rest of this day, you don't know what's going to happen the rest of this day. But while we have this moment, we have time to repent." But why? Why repent? We got to back up a little further. We got to move the camera back just a little bit more. We got to get a little bit broader picture. And if we go back just a little bit more and we read verses 35 to 39, we see that Jesus is working with his disciples. And Jesus is preparing them that he's going to have to go away, but he's coming back. And we talked about it in the Nicene Creed today. He's coming back in glory, right, to judge. He's coming back. He's working with his disciples on that. And so in these verses, he says this. He says, "Be dressed and ready for action, and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may be opened the door for him. And as soon as he comes and knocks, blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so blessed, are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour." We don't know when he's coming. He could come at any minute, and so the time to repent is now. We talked about it in the Nicene Creed. It's part of who we are as Christians. It's part of our anticipation that Jesus is coming back. But you might ask the question, why does it come up in this part of the story? Jesus hasn't even reached Jerusalem yet. Jesus hasn't suffered yet. Jesus hasn't died yet. Jesus hasn't risen yet. Jesus hasn't gone to the right hand of God yet. Why is he already talking about coming back? We have to understand that the book of Luke was written several decades after all of those events. They had expected Jesus to come back in the early years. Paul himself expected Jesus to come back. Now it appears that Jesus is delaying, and so Luke is writing to remind them, hey, it might seem like it's delayed. It might seem like Jesus is late, but rest assured, Jesus is coming back, and it's time right now to repent. Repentance. Repentance. What is it? What is repentance? Well, think about the first two letters, re. Anytime you got a re, you're returning to something in its original form. And so repenting is a kind of reordering to the way things were. It is a reorienting to the way it used to be, to the original form. It is, in effect, a factory reset. Repenting is returning to where we began. And in the beginning, in creation, God created humankind, and he looked at it and he said, "It is good. It is very good." Somewhere along the way, though, we got a little sideways, we got a little sidetracked, and where we had our eyes fixed on Jesus and where we were in that image of God, the way we were created, we were fixed on Jesus, but somehow life got us turned around, life got us spinning around, life got us confused, and we need to repent. We need that factory reset. Just like my 10-year-old Hyundai, it could use a factory reset. You know, the steering wheel, it used to telescope in and out. It used to go up and down. It doesn't go anywhere anymore. The doors, I used to be able to walk right up to the door, grab the handle of the door, but open. I can't do that anymore. That function doesn't work. I have to actually use a key. My Bluetooth function doesn't function anymore, and it has bumps and bruises all around. It's been beaten up a little bit. And we've been beaten up a little bit. And we need to repent. We need to reorient ourselves. We need that factory reset. We need somehow to go back to the way we were originally designed and we were originally created. And that's what redemption is. So what does redemption look like? If you're looking for it, what does redemption look like? Well, Jesus says it looks a lot like a fig tree that is so full of figs that the branches are just weighed down almost to the ground. That kind of fruit production, that's what repentance looks like. Repentance, once you get that reset, once you're reoriented, repentance produces fruit. And Jesus used the fig tree as an example of that in our parable today. Let's read it. It's a very short parable, came right at the end of our lesson today. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the gardener, "See here, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and still I find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" And the gardener replies, "Sir, let it alone for one more year until I have a chance to dig around it and put manure on it. And if it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." The fig tree. The fig tree might be standing there representing Israel. It might be standing there representing the church, the universal church. It might be standing there representing this church, the body of Christ at Baker Chapel. The fig tree might be standing there in the place of you and me. But the fig tree is Jesus' example of what forgiveness and what repentance is and is not. Is and is not. And I want to say four things. There are four things that the fig tree actually says. There's four things that we can talk about when we look at that fig tree. One is the fig tree's privilege. One is the fig tree's purpose. One is the fig tree's production. And there's one more P, and I'm going to save that for just a second. But there is the privilege of the fig tree. Make no mistake about it, God planted the fig tree. We had nothing to do with the planting of the fig tree. God planted the fig tree. Your life belongs to God, came from God. We have our being. We move through us and God. We move through God. That's how we exist. We have the privilege of being planted in that garden in good soil. Nothing of our own doing. Then there's the purpose. We're planted for a purpose. And the purpose is to produce fruit. Fig trees produce figs, and people produce the gifts of the Spirit, love, and all of those things that come along with it. That kind of repentance produces the kind of fruit that has its source in loving God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul and all your strength, and loving your neighbor as yourself. That's how the fig tree produces that abundant harvest of fruit. That's its purpose. And then its production. God expects there to be a harvest. God expects that if He plants us in good soil, that we will indeed produce fruit. And if we don't produce fruit, well, what use are we really? Why are we taking up the soil? And maybe you're there, maybe you've been there. But here's the fourth P. And here's the good news in all this bad news. There's the gardener. There's the gardener who in this parable is clearly Jesus. And Jesus says, wait. Don't cut it down. Don't cut it down. Give me a chance. Give me a chance to dig around it. Give me a chance to loosen those roots. Give me a chance to open up that soil, to let those nutrients, that sunshine and that water, just give me a chance. Let me get some manure. Let me get some fertilizer on that. And I think if you give me another year, we can produce fruit. So God in Christ says, yeah, it's time to repent. It's time to produce fruit. Time might run out someday. Time will run out either when that tower falls on your head or the Lord comes back again. But in the meantime, there's the gardener. There's Jesus. And the only real way to produce fruit is to repent and reorient and go in for that factory reset. It's time to repent, which means it's time to call in the gardener. And that is good news. Amen. Let's be in an attitude of prayer now as we quiet our bodies and our minds and our spirits. And we allow the Lord to speak from inside us where He lives.